And I would like to dedicate tonight's presentation Le'ilui Nishmas HaRav Moshe Ziskin Ben HaRav Yechiel Dov Ve'etel. Now the rabbi already mentioned that central to Rabbi Shoham's ministry and rabbinate was obviously Ben Adam Lamok. What is so special about his rabbinate is not just Ben Adam Lamokom, but also Ben Adam Lachavero. And I think he placed a premium on interpersonal relationships. And that speaks very highly to him, because that is ultimately, I think, what a rabbi leaves for a congregation. The rabbi leaves behind the personal relationships, the inspiration that the rabbi provided to individuals, the connection that the rabbi had with the members of the congregation and the members of the community. And so that I thought that in that spirit, to focus dafka specifically on Ben Adam Lachavero, the title of the talk focusing on interpersonal relationships during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, would be an appropriate memorial. I sent my handout in advance to the rabbi, to Earl, and I hope that they distributed it to all of you. I'm not going to share the screen. I don't need to have the text in front of all of you, but I sincerely hope that you will be able to access it. Those of you who know my teaching know that I don't come to teach to you, to preach to you, but to learn together with you. And that's why I took the trouble to prepare this handout, so that we could study some texts together. There are also a lot of Hebrew here on these texts, but I want to reassure you that I will translate every single word, and sometimes I will summarize. I want there to be a totally clear level playing field, and nobody should feel somehow left out or less than because of facility with traditional rabbinic texts. So everything will be in translation. In order to highlight the power of interpersonal relationships, I would like to begin on page one with a mission at the end of Tractate Yuma. Tractate Yuma is the tractate in the Talmud that deals with Yom Kippur, Yoma, the day, the paradigmatic, most significant and important day, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. The Mishnah tells us as follows. Averot Sheben Adam Lamakom, and you have the arrow at the bottom of the page in the Hebrew, you have the translation in the on the top part of the page, and that's beginning in the second paragraph in the English. Averot Sheben Adam Lamakom, Yom Kippur Mechaper. So we're now counting down, we're a couple of days away from Yom Kippur. And we understand that we work hard and we try our best and we take Yom Kippur seriously. And on the other end of Yom Kippur, we hope and pray and believe that in terms of whatever it is that needs to be rectified regarding our relationship with God. So Baruch Hashem, Yom Kippur is atonement. It's called the Day of Atonement for a reason. However, continues the Mishnah, and this is what I want to focus on. Averot Sheben Adam Lechavero, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper Ad Sheyiratzeh Es Chaver. Yom Kippur is meaningless. Yom Kippur is totally insignificant. It has no value whatsoever when it comes to interpersonal relationships. If we need to rectify something between one another, somebody mistreated us, or we mistreated somebody, or we didn't have proper respect, or somebody said Lashon Hara about somebody else, somebody yelled at someone else, somebody, in the course of relationships, inevitably it happens, that there are hiccups, and we hurt somebody, and we offended somebody. And we can go in and out to and from Yom Kippur, and we're nowhere. Yom Kippur means nothing until we make the move. Ad sheyiratzeh et chavero, until we pacify our friend, we ask for mechila. So we ask for mechila from God, and even the rabbis tell us that itzumo shel yom mechaper, that even if you live through a Yom Kippur seriously, so by definition, the day itself has this salvific character to it, that it enables you to to have kapara, but not in the case of interpersonal relationships. We have our work cut out for us. And we have to get up and we have to pick up the phone. We have to make a call and we have to ask for forgiveness. And we can't postpone it. We postponed it long enough. We've now got a couple of days left. This is it. It's the nth hour and we need to make the call. If Yom Kippur is meant to be anything for us, it will only happen once we make the move and we try to rectify this unfortunate misunderstanding that we have somehow generated or perpetrated to somebody else. Now I want you to turn to page 2. I want to introduce you to a commentary on the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov at the top of page 2, I got it. There's a lot of Hebrew, but I'm going to translate everything. The Ein Yaakov is a sefer that was written into the 16th century by Yaakov ibn Chaviv, who was the rabbi of the Sephardi community, the exile Spanish community in Salonika. You know, of course, that in 1492, the Jews were expelled from Spain and the Jews went into the Ottoman Empire. The Jews from Spain, in larger numbers, went into the Ottoman Empire. Salonika is a city, it's today in Greece. Then it was a very central part of the Ottoman Empire. Jews settled there, and Rabbi Ibn Chabib was the rabbi of this exiled Spanish community that had been exiled from Spain in 1492 and came to Salonika. He died in 1516. He wrote a book called Ein Yaakov. His name was Yaakov. And what this book is, it's a collection of all of the homiletical, we'll call it agadic, we'll call it non-halachic parts of the Talmud. So anyone with even an elementary familiarity with rabbinic literature and Talmudic literature will know that the Talmud is basically a composite between the legal sections and the non-legal sections. So there's Mishnah, and there's Halacha, and there's Gemara, and there's Machloket, and there's a lot of give and take in terms of the legal unfolding of the halachic system. But there's also stories and analyses and sharing ideas that do not necessarily have and are not necessarily rooted within a halachic framework. He extracted all of the latter and put them in a separate book called Ein Yaakov. This book is published, written by someone lived into the beginning of the 16th century. And one of the most famous commentaries on this book is, if you look at the bottom right, the Rif, the Rif. Now, some of us may be familiar with the Rif, the classic Rif commentary on the Talmud is Yitzhak Alfasi, who lived in Spain in the 11th century. Obviously, this is not him because this book was written in the 16th century. So I want to introduce you to another Rif, whose name was Rabbi Yoshia Pinto. The Pinto family is a very prominent family today in the Sephardic community. Rabbi Yoshia Pinto. Rabbi Yoshia Pinto lived into the middle of the 17th century. He died in 1648. He was a Kabbalist, and he lived in Damascus in Syria. Rabbi Yoshia Pinto writes a commentary on the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov at the top of this page quoted this passage from the Mishnah. When it comes to our relationship with God, Yom Kippur can be efficacious. However, when it comes to, I'm now in the second line of the Ein Yaakov at the top of page 2, when it comes to interpersonal relationships, Yom Kippur doesn't mean anything until we make the first move and we ask our friend for forgiveness. Asks Rabbi Pinto the following. In order to appreciate Rabbi Pinto's question, we have to go back to the Mishnah. So please turn back to page 1 and let's read another 2 or 3 lines and then we'll appreciate his question. And this will be for me the point of departure in this memorial lecture for Rabbi Shoham, pointing specific central attention to the importance of interpersonal relationships. Continues the Mishnah, after saying that when it comes to interpersonal relationships, Averot Shebein Adam L'Chaveiro Ein Yom HaKippur Mechaper Ad She'Yiratze Et Chaveiro. Continues the Mishnah. Doris Rabbi Eliezer Ben Azaria. Mikol Chatotechem L'Fnei Hashem Titor. One of the famous verses that was recited again and again and over again in the Yom Kippur liturgy. Ki Bayom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem L'Taher Etchem Mikol Chatotechem L'Fnei Hashem Titor. Interprets Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Averot shebein adam lamakom yom ha-kippur mechaper. He repeats the same thing over again. When it comes to our relationship with God, issues that have to do with our relationships to the divine, Yom Kippur is helpful. Averot shebein adam l'chavero en yom ha-kippur mechaper ad she'yiratze et chavero. Mikol chatoteichem lifnei Hashem titaru. If the chait, if the sin is God-focused and God-oriented and God-involved, then titoru, then Yom Kippur works. As opposed to if it's not lifnei Hashem, but if it's bein adam l'chavero, if it's between me and you, then there's no titaru unless you make the move. Asks Rabbi Pinto. What does Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, come to add to the Mishnah? I want to read the words again. I'll read them and I'll translate them. For those of you who appreciate the original, that's great. If not, I will explicate. I'm going to read these words again in the Mishnah to sharpen, to appreciate his question. Averot shebein adam lamakom, where the arrow is, bottom of page one. Yom HaKippur Mechaper. Yom Kippur works for sins that we commit vis-a-vis God. Averot shebein adam l'chaveiro, en Yom HaKippur Mechaper, ad she'yiratze es chaveiro. When it comes to interpersonal, Yom Kippur doesn't matter until I make the move and I fix it. Continues the Mishnah Dorash Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. He quotes a verse, Mikol chatotechem lifnei Hashem titaru, and then he repeats exactly the same words that was said beforehand, exactly the same words. Averot shebein adam lamakom yom ha-kippur mechaper. Averot shebein adam l'chaveiro en yom ha-kippur mechaper ad she'yiratze et chaveiro. Asks Rabbi Pinto, what's he adding? What is he adding? What's the difference between the first passage in the Mishnah and this statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azar? And if you're going to tell me that all he's adding is the proof text, the proof text, Mikol Chatotechem Lefnei Hashem Titaru, says Rabbi Pinto that he should have said, the Mishnah says that if it's interpersonal, it requires us to do something. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Minayin, how do you know? What's the basis? What's your source? Answer, Mikol Chatotechem Lefnei Hashem Titaru. Why did he have to repeat the entire statement all over again? It's the same thing that was just said. If it's only the proof text that he wants to add, add the proof text. Why the repetition? You understand. The assumption here is, and the point of departure is, that there are no just simply extra words. And there's got to be something significant, says Rabbi Pinto. In Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria's edition, repeating verbatim the previous comment, something is going on here that he is adding and in fact disagreeing with the previous comment. And this is Rabbi Pinto's answer. And I'm going to summarize it for you. You have the text in front of you. You may need a microscope. You'll figure it out. You'll be able to find it. And hopefully you'll take a look at it inside. Should you be so interested, I'm going to summarize it for you. He says the following. According to the first interpretation of the Mishnah, which I am now going to repeat, when it comes to my relationship with God, Yom Kippur works. When it comes to my relationship with a human being, I have to do something. Here is what I would think. You know what? When it comes to God, I'm okay. I'm done. Yom Kippur works. Check, check, check. Bein Adam L'Makom, Yom Kippur did its job. Mechaper. However, I have another area that needs to be rectified, and that is not rectified unless I do something. But even if I didn't do anything vis-a-vis my relationship with my friend, I'm good to go with God. Averot shebein adam lamakom, Yom HaKippur mechaper. So I'm okay, clean slate, clean slate. JJ, check, check, check. God, me and God, we're in a good place. That's done, taken care of, off the table. Okay, no, what should I do? I messed up with somebody else. I was too embarrassed. I didn't have a chance to address it. Okay, so that I'm stuck. But at least I took care of the God part. That's the first opinion in the Mishnah. Comes along Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and says, and listen to this, it's amazing. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you know what? I have to take care of Yom Kippur. When it comes to God, Yom Kippur is mechaper. If I do not take care of my relationships with my friends, ein Yom HaKippurim mechaper, even for what has to do with between me and God. It's not as if I'm halfway home. I'm done. I'm set. I'm just messed up when it comes to my relationships with human beings. If my relationships with human beings are not rectified, then I am nowhere at all when it comes to Yom Kippur. It's not like I did that, that's done, that's in a box, nice ribbon, taken care of, off the table, and I'm only worried about my relationships with another human being. If my relationship with another human being has not been rectified, then even Averot Shebein Adam Lamakom are not rectified. What this does, you understand, it catapults the power of rectifying Bein Adam L'Chaveiro central to Yom Kippur. Because if I don't take care of that, then I'm nowhere. Yom Kippur doesn't mean anything to me. It's not as if I took care of God, I just didn't take care of people. If I don't take care of people, then I am zero on Yom Kippur. Zero on Yom Kippur. And so I want to ratchet up a little bit our sense of responsibility to live up to what Rabbi Shoham Zichrono Livracha taught us. And that is, when it comes to relationships with human beings, really matters. It really matters. And it's really important. Ad kedei kach, to such an extent that if something is undone, Yom Kippur, zilcho, nothing, nada, gunish, meant nothing. The first opinion, says Rabbi Pinto in the Mishnah, is I did take care of at least God. I just didn't take care of people. I could bifurcate God and people. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, mikol chatosechem lefnei Hashem titaru. Avera sheben adam lamokom Yom HaKippur mechaper. Avero sheben adam lachavero ein Yom HaKippur mechaper at all. Even avero sheben adam lamakom ad sheyiratze eschaver. That is astounding. It's a little bit scary. It raises a level of responsibility to a very high degree. I would imagine that we would all like Yom Kippur to mean something to us. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this Zoom. Otherwise, you would not have been influenced by an outstanding rabbi. Yom Kippur matters to us. And I don't know what your arrangement is. You know, we're davening in a tent on a parking lot. I mean, you know, it's complicated with masks and Kol Nidre early and Ne'ila early and Kol Nidre late. And then we're going to skip a piyut and we're going to, you know, yisker. And it's insanity. It's insanity. And I'm sure the rabbi's been working constantly to try to figure out the minion in the backyard and the minion next door and the minion in the sanctuary, social distance. It matters to us. Yom Kippur matters to us. Comes Rabbi Pinto and says, you know what, if you want it to matter to you, so you, I don't know, you did something inappropriate when it comes to Ben Adam Lamakom, but if you don't fix Ben Adam Lachavero, if you do not catapult interpersonal relationships to the absolute forefront of your consciousness in the days leading up to and culminating in Yom Kippur, then you might as well stay home, have a daiquiri, smoke a cigar, eat a delicious chopped liver pastrami sandwich, and it's exactly the same thing. That's what it is. That's what it is. Yom Kippur is zero. And that's why I want to focus on this tonight. I want to shine a spotlight on an aspect, the aspect perhaps, of Rabbi Sholem's rabbinate that left such an incredible impression. And why is it, Rabbi, that all of those who led the services this Rosh Hashanah were influenced not only by Rabbi Sholem, but by you? You were the youth leader. You must have had something to do with this too, so you also get credit. Why is it they did it? Because they cared about him. They did it because they cared about you. Because their youth leader was a role model for them. Because their rabbi was a role model for them. Not because he was chapping malachim by the feast and saying a Shmona Esrei for 9 hours and putting his talus over his head and chuckling like crazy. It's because he was a mensch. Because he had a relationship. That's what he was. And that's important. And we need a model of that. And if we messed up with somebody, and of course we messed up, it's inevitable. If you mess up, you fix it. And you have to fix it. It's really important to fix it. I beg you. I'm mamish begging you. I don't even know most of you. And I'm begging you. When I'm done, pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. And call your mother, call your father, call your sibling, call your neighbor, call your friend, call your rabbi. And say, you know what? Let's fix it. Let's fix it. Now, question. Why? Why is this so? Why do we have such a high bar? I thought my whole life until I saw this passage that in fact, I'm good to go with God. I always learned pshat in this Mishnah. For the first 50 years of my life that I've been studying this Mishnah, I always assume, ben adam la makom, I'm good to go. Ben adam la chavera, I have work to do. At least I took care of ben adam la makom. And now I have to work on ben adam la chavera. And now all of a sudden, a bombshell, that I might as well have a pastrami sandwich on Yom Kippur if I don't ask for mechila. Why? Since when? Turn to page 3. On page 3, I bring you, and I'm going to summarize and translate, from a sefer that was written, it's called Binyan Ariel, the top of page 3. It was written by a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Shaul Lowenstam, who was a rabbi in Amsterdam, who died in the second half of the 18th century. So we move from the 16th century, the author of the Ein Yaakov, to the 17th century, Rabbi Pinto, and now in the 18th century. And he says as follows, and I'm going to summarize. I have been haunted by the following question. How does tshuva work? How? It's a simple question. Ever since I was a kid, first my parents, and then my teachers, and then my rabbeim, and then my mashgiach in yeshiva is hacking me in the head, you have to do tshuva. You have to do tshuva. What are these days called? Aseret Yimei Teshuva. We have to do tshuva. Avinu Malkeinu, hachazirenu b'tshuva shleima lefanech. I don't understand how tshuva works. What is tshuva? You know what, God? I did something wrong. And I'm really sad that I did it wrong. I'm sad and I'm sorry. And it bothers me. Charata in the past. Busha, I'm embarrassed. Kabbalah lehaba, God, I'm not going to do it again. That's tshuva. What? What do you mean? Where did it go? You know what? If I ate something I shouldn't have eaten, let's just say theoretically, I ate something I shouldn't have eaten. God, I feel terrible that I ate that. God, I'm embarrassed that I ate it. God, I promise you I'm not going to eat it again. Great, great. But you did it. You ate it. Where did it go? You did the act. I mamish don't understand how tshuva works. What happened to the act? What, you roll back, you're in a time machine, and you make like it never happened? What do you mean it never happened? I feel bad. Good, you feel bad. I'm happy you feel bad. I am thrilled that you have this absolute intention never to do it again. That's great, beautiful. But where did it go? You did it. If you hurt somebody, you hurt somebody's feelings. You go and you say, I'm sorry. And the person is kind enough and nice enough to say, you know what, I'm mochel. That's beautiful. But you hurt that person. Last week you embarrassed them. Where did it go? It happened. How does tshuva work? Says Rabbi Lowenstein on the top of page 3. You know why tshuva works? It really should not work at all. It makes no sense. You know why tshuva works? Because God gives us a gift. Because God gives us a gift. And God says, you know what? It's totally illogical. It totally defies any rationale. But I'm giving you a chesed. That's all. I can't explain it. You did it. You still did it. But I'm giving you a gift. Look at the Yerushalmi at the bottom of the page. Sha'alu l'chochma. Yerushalmi masachet makot. I'm going to read it and translate it. They asked wisdom. Chote mahu oncho. What is the punishment for somebody who sins? Amr lahem, so Chachma says, Chata'im terade fra'ah, they should be pursued by evil. If you sin, you get punished. It's a simple matter. Quid pro quo. You should be pursued terade fra'ah. Next, Sha'alu l'nevuah, they went to prophecy, Chote mahu oncho. What happens if somebody sins? What's their punishment? So Nevuah said, prophecy said, Hanefesh achotad he Thomas, you should die, should be punished. In other words, that makes sense. That is logical. You do something wrong, you suffer the consequences. You have to fix it. You have to be punished. You do something wrong, you go to jail. I know I'm beating up on myself. I'm banging al chayt until my hand comes to the other side of my back. But I have to go to jail because I did something wrong. That makes sense. Chachma. Chachma, wisdom. Nivuah, prophecy. Punishment. Continues the Yerushalmi, Sha'alu l'kutcha b'richu, chotei ma'u oncho. If you ask God, they went to ask God, God, what happens if somebody sins? What does God answer? Amar lahem yaseh tshuva. Yaseh tshuva v'yischar pelu. God says, you could do tshuva. Chachma says, there's no such thing as tshuva. It's ridiculous. Nevuah says there's no such thing as tshuva. Where did it go? I did it. I feel bad. Great. I'm not going to do it again. Beautiful. Where did it go? I did it. I'm responsible. God says, I'll give you a gift. Says Rabbi Lowenstein, why is God going to give me a gift? Why does God give me the gift? Why does God say to JJ, you know what? If you ate something that you shouldn't have eaten, I'm going to forgive you. Why does God do that? He says, you know why? Because if JJ hurt somebody else, he's going to go and ask mechila from that person. And if somebody hurt him and asks him for mechila, he's going to be mochel. That since we, in our interpersonal lives, forgive one another, where did it go? I hurt him last week. He hurt me last week. But we want to move forward. We want to put it behind us. We want to be nice to one another. We understand that people make mistakes. And we forgive one another. God says, you know what? Wow, what a model that is. You know what? They forgave one another. I'm going to forgive them. You know, our paradigm is in the Jewish tradition that we're supposed to be godlike, that we're supposed to do things that God does. Mahu chanun, afato chanun, mahu rachum, afato rachum. God is nice, God is kind, God visits the sick, and God buries the dead, and God does all kinds of wonderful things. So we should, it's a pasuk in the Torah, v'halachto bedrachav, that we should model and pattern our behavior after what we understand to be God's behavior. And now all of a sudden, it's the opposite. God patterns, says Rabbi Lowenstein, his behavior with us after our behavior with one another. God says, wow, look at these two people. Last week they were killing each other, and now they figured it out, and now they're meichel, and now they're ready to put it behind them. You know what? I'm going to do that too. Therefore, he says, when does God forgive me for eating something that I shouldn't have eaten? When does God forgive the Ben Adam Lamakom? Only if I forgive Ben Adam Lachavero. But if I don't forgive Ben Adam Lachavero, if I don't make a move to ask for Mechila, and if somebody asks me for Mechila, I'm tough and I refuse to give it to them, then God said, why should I forgive them? The only reason I'm forgiving them for my end of the bargain is because they forgive one another, because it doesn't make sense. Chachma says, let them drown. Nevuah says, kill them. You're responsible. You have an obligation. Fess up, pay up. Sha'alu l'kutcha berichu, yase tshuva. God says, I'll give you a gift. It's illogical. It defies any rational explanation. Where did it go? I did it. But you know what? I'll let it go. Why will I let it go, says God? Because you let it go. Because you let it go with one another. You don't let it go with one another. Why should I let it go for you? Therefore, he says, now we understand Rabbi Pinto. When does Yom Kippur work for anything? When is Yom Kippur efficacious when it comes to Ben Adam Lamako? Only if I fix Ben Adam Lachavero. But if I don't fix Ben Adam Lachavero, then dripping oil from the pastrami sandwich on Yom Kippur afternoon. Doesn't matter. Because God says, why should I forgive you? There's no rational, logical reason why I should forgive you. The whole thing is ludicrous. Chachma Nevuah says it's ludicrous. I'll give you a chesed. I'll be nice. Why will I be nice? Because you're nice. You're not nice? Forget about it. Totally disinterested. And so we see from here the power of interpersonal relationships. Ad kidei kach, review. The Mishnah said, Avera sheben adam lamakom, yom ha-kippur mechaper. Avera sheben adam lachavero, en yom ha-kippur mechaper, ad sheyiratza es chavero. Darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, mipnei chatoechem lefnei Hashem titor. And he repeats, Avera sheben adam lamakom, yom ha-kippur mechaper, Avera sheben adam lachavero, En Yom Kippur Mechaper Ad Sheyiratza Es Chaver. Quoted by the Ein Yaakov, 16th century. Asks Rabbi Pinto, 17th century. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria add? He's just repeating verbatim what the Tanakhama said, what the first position was. Answers Rabbi Pinto, no, he disagrees. The first position was, if you take care of Yom Kippur with God, you're okay. That part is done. That part is resolved. Now, there's another part, namely interpersonal, so that you have to work on. Comes Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, says Rabbi Pinto, and says, no, that's not true. It's not true. It's not as if I can bifurcate my relationship issues with God and with human beings. It's all one package. And unless I fix my relationship with other human beings, I'm nowhere with God. Why? Why should that be? It's crazy. Why? 18th century Rabbi Lowenstein, I'll tell you why. Because the whole institution of tshuva is ludicrous. The whole institution of tshuva defies any possible comprehension. What happened to the sin that I did? Where did it go? It's killing me and I'm upset and I'm heartbroken and I'm so sad and I'm crying and I'm humiliated and I'm embarrassed. Beautiful. Where did it go? The answer is, it's a gift. It's a gift. Chachma says, you're done, you're fried, it's over. Nevuah says, burn, done, die, punish. Hashem says, kutcha b'riachu, yaseh tshuva, it's a gift. Why do I give you this gift? Because you give this gift to one another. If you don't give this gift to one another, why should I give you a gift? I don't owe you squat. I don't owe you zilcho, nada, gunisht. Gunisht, I don't owe you. Nothing. I don't know you. Out of the kindness of my heart, says God. Only if you model that, you act that way to another fellow human being, you ask Mechila and give Mechila, I'll be happy to do it for you as well. You don't do that, then goodbye, Charlie. Finished. It's over. See you next Yom Kippur. Maybe, hopefully, you'll turn a new leaf. I want to conclude on page 4 with one last text. I'm going to crunch this down into one last text. I'm getting close to my 45 minutes. I want to talk about Kavod HaBrios. I want to talk about the honor that we are required to demonstrate to one another. Kavod HaBrios. Kavod honor brios is humanity. Kavod HaBrios. Central to Ben Adam Lachavero is Kavod HaBrios. What does Kavod HaBrios mean? I have to treat you nicely. I treat you with honor. I treat you with respect. And I want to give you an example. The most extreme example of the obligation to treat another human being with respect. Top right, page 4. We remember the story in Parshas Balak. So you remember the story, I know it's been a while ago, but maybe from Hebrew school you still remember, from fourth grade in yeshiva. Maybe actually you may have had an opportunity to hear Kriyat HaTorah, which I doubt, on Parshas Balak this year. We were still, God knows where we were, but maybe the year before. So Bilam has bad ideas. Sort of toys with an invitation from Balak to do the opposite of bless the Jewish people. And finally, he decides he's going to accept the invitation to do the opposite of bless the Jewish people. And he starts walking and he bumps smack into a donkey. And he goes this direction, the donkey blocks him. And he goes this direction, the donkey blocks him. And he can't figure it out. And at the end of the day, the donkey makes him look like a fool. And finally, he's able to get himself out of it. And he continues and he does whatever he does. Bilam, on his way to do the opposite of bless the Jewish people, is bested by a donkey. Look at the pasuk. Look at Rashi. The Rashi quotes a medrash. Rashi says, on the top right, I'll give you the midrash on the left side, the top left-hand side. Kaven shedibra meta. As soon as Bilam finished with this story with the donkey, God killed the donkey. The donkey died. Why did the donkey die? Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Kvodo shel oto Rasha. Look at Rashi. Haragtiha, line number 5 in Rashi. You have the English translation. After this, the donkey was killed. God killed the donkey. Shelo Yomru, why did God kill the donkey? So that people should not say, Zuhi Shesilka Bilam Bitochachta Velo Yachol Hashiv. You know what? If this donkey walks around, you know what everybody's going to say? They're going to look at this animal and say, oh, look at this animal. This animal was able to best Bilam. This animal was smarter than Bilam. Bilam, the great prophet, couldn't win over this animal. The animal was smarter than him. And we don't want that to happen. Shechas hamakom al kavod habrios. Because we're sad for Bilam. Ay, Nebuch, poor Bilam is going to be embarrassed. Could you imagine wherever the donkey goes, they're all going to say that he's smarter than Bilam. Bilam, wherever he turns, wherever he goes, he's going to be humiliated. Everybody's going to be pointing, see that animal. The animal is smarter than him. And we're sensitive to the feelings of Bilam. We don't want to hurt his feelings. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that's the Reb Chaim on the right side in the middle. This is my final lines. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who was a Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, he's one of the great, great Gedolim and Talmide Chachamim in the middle of the 20th century. Reb Chaim has a section on our obligation to be nice to one another. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And he brings this as a prime example. And listen to what he says. Bilam, third line, I want to read it because the Hebrew here is gripping, and I'll translate it. Who was Bilam? Who am I worried about? I Nebuch, Bilam, my heart bleeds for Bilam. He's going to be embarrassed. Who the heck was Bilam? Bilam haya avi avot kol ha-pchisiyut shebe'olam. Bilam was the lowest of the lowlifes. Bilam was a menuvel, a chaleria, a mushchis. Bilam was disgusting. What did he want to do, Bilam? He wanted to do the opposite of bless the Jewish people. That's what he wanted to do. Who are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about such a wonderful guy. We're talking about a disgusting human being. Avi Avot, he is the epitome of disgustingness, of low-lifeness. V'afal pikein, continues Rabbi Chaim, michshash lepigia bechvodo, because I feel so bad, I'm worried about undermining the honor of this despicable menuvel. Hey, Mr. Kodesh Baruch Hu, I saw also God kills the animal. V'afal pi, listen to this. V'afal pi shahaya, she'ilu haitaha aton chaya, if this animal was alive, there would have been a great Kiddush Hashem. Could you imagine? The Asan goes all over the place, and everybody says, you see what happens when you mess with the Jewish people? When you mess with the Jewish people, the animal is better than you. What a Kiddush Hashem this is. Kol ro'eh ota haya omer zu shepatach Hashem et piha. You know what we should do? We should take this animal, and we should put them on the road, and they should go to every community. And in the Zion congregation, you should give him Mafter Yonah, and you should give him Psicha Fene'ila, and you should make him the honoree at the congregational dinner. And from Montreal to Toronto to Edmonton to Vancouver, and then maybe come to the United States on a roadshow. Everybody should see this animal. Everybody should say, whoa, don't start up with God. You start up with God. This animal is going to be smarter than you. What a Kiddush Hashem, says Rab Chaim. Nevertheless, you know what? I, Nebuch, Bilam will be humiliated. Nikomakam kivin sheyesh behish aruta b'chayim, that were we allowed to have this animal alive, there would be a pigia kala. They'd be a little bit of an upset. Bepochus shebepechusim zeh, in this lowest of the lowest of a choleria menuvel mushchis, because even epsahorala, he'd feel a little bit bad. Chas hamokom al kvodo v'henes hesos. The power of kavod abrios. That is a lesson that Rabbi Shohan taught us. The power and the centrality of the respect for another human being. Nobody we know ever is like Bilam. Nobody we know is like Bilam. People are good people. People are basically decent people. Chas v'shalom. Nobody is like Bilam. Kal v'chomer. If by Bilam, Rashi quoting a Medrash says that we had to kill the donkey because otherwise poor Bilam would be upset. We're worried about his feelings. Kal v'chomer, we have to be worried and concerned about the feelings of one another, about our feelings, about the feelings of our friends, of the members of our community. And so tonight I want to devote this shiur, this memorial shiur, and it's once again been a real, real honor for me to hitch my name to the name of Rabbi Shohan, Zichrono Livracha, to focus on the power of people, the power of caring. Yes, I know I have to keep Shabbos, I have to keep Kashrus, I have to keep Taras HaMishpacha. I know there's a lot on my plate when it comes to my relationship to God, and I should be thinking about it now as we wind down to Yom Kippur. But let's highlight and let's spotlight the power of Ben Adam L'Chaver. Point number one, remember Rabbi Pinto and remember Rabbi Lowenstein. If I don't take care of that, I'm nowhere. And remember the Rashi in Parshas Balak, quoting a Medrash, that we were sensitive to the feelings of one of the most despicable humanoids who ever walked the face of this earth. We have to be caring about one another. Let's make it a priority for us. Pick up the phone, ask for Mechila. Let's model. Let's walk the walk that Rabbi Shoham walked and taught us how to walk. Le'ilu nishmas harav Moshe Ziskin ben harav Yechiel dov ve'etel tehei nishmaso tzrura v'tzeror hachayim. His family should have mechama, should have nachas from multiple generations. And all of you who are blessed to know him should be able to follow in his footsteps and to model those lessons that he held high and that continued to animate so much of the centrality of the values that we carry in our own personal lives. I want to wish all of you a gemar chatima tova, a happy new year, a meaningful new year, successful new year, and I think certainly most appropriate, a healthy new year. We should have the koach and the strength to get through this challenge and to live meaningful and happy and healthy lives. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you this evening.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Schachter. We have a little bit of time, for questions and answers. What I'm going to ask, just for the sake of decorum, because I've basically set it up so that you cannot unmute yourself. If there are questions and answers, please to type them in the chat, and we'll answer questions based from the questions on the chat. Just while you're thinking of questions and typing them in, just a few anecdotes, because one of the most incredible things that I experienced in my many years of being around Rabbi Shoham, who I have the privilege of calling my Rebbe, were the shiurim that he would give between Mincha and Marav and Shabbos on Pirkei Avot. And he taught us so much during those moments, the Pirkei Avot. We would comment how he taught one line of one Mishnah of Pirkei Avot in the 45 minutes, but he said so much, not even an entire Mishnah. And he would just say so much in that short little time. And the lessons were so incredible. He would, and just a few things that come to mind, and they're lessons that we carry with us, that we live our lives. He was our role model, and I take those lessons to heart. I've learned from it, and I apply it to my own daily life and how I conduct myself in life. And you had mentioned the idea of tshuva, where he taught us the Gemara of Rabbi Meir in Bruria, where there were biryonim in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir prayed that they should all die. And Bruria says, no, it doesn't say yitamu, it says yitamu chata'im mina aretz, not yitamu chot'im. It's not the chot'im that should cease, the sinners that should cease, but it's the chata'im, the sins. You should pray that they should do tshuva. And that was a very powerful message. And he would tell us stories all the time, ben adam l'chavero stories. And one that really stands out was incredible. And that was a story that he told about Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who were once coming from a wedding and were about to get into a taxi. And they were basically arguing who would have shotgun, who was going to sit in the front seat. And then finally, one of them decided, I'll sit in the front seat. And the students later asked, what was that all about? Were you guys fighting who's sitting in the front seat? And they answered that we were trying to see who it is that was going to get out of the taxi first, because we didn't want the taxi driver to have someone sit in the back seat and the taxi driver, chas v'shalom, the taxi driver should feel that he was not, that he was insignificant. Those are the lessons of Bein Adam L'Chavero, things that are seemingly so insignificant. But Rabbi Shoham taught us that we have to be mechabed et kol habriyot, and ezu adam mechubad hamechabed et habriyot, that really respects habriyot, every single individual. And he would always, during this time of year, Haftarah Yonah, that Hashem was going to destroy the world, would bring down the Rashi that would make the connection between Dor HaFlaga and Dor HaMabul, and that it's ben adam lechavero, that Hashem wants to destroy the world. And that was what was going on in the time of Yonah, in the time of the Dor HaPlaga, that was Hamas, that the world was full of Hamas, and it was the ben adam lechavero that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really couldn't stand. And it was that lesson that was so important to us. So thank you, everyone. If there are any questions, please.
I see there are. I see a couple of questions.
Go ahead, Rabbi.
I'm following the Zoom group chat. So the first question that I see is, what if you don't know if you offended someone? That's really a very fair question. All I could say is, think deeply and do whatever you can to go through the events of this past year and your relationships to make sure that, at least from your perspective, you think you're okay. If you conclude that you didn't offend anybody, then there's obviously you can't ask them for mechila. But I think it plants in our minds going forward to be careful not to offend going forward. I think this is more of a paying forward kind of a focus. I don't know what I did in the past. I hope I didn't offend anybody. I don't know if I did. If I did, I hope they would come and ask me mechila. This way, at least I'll find out and I'll be able to grant them mechila. Or I'll be able to ask them for mechila if they tell me that I did something wrong to them. But I'll be much more conscious going forward not to do anything to offend anybody. What about Hitler? Should we care about his feelings? So that's really an excellent question. Obviously, I believe the answer is no. And I really find it hard to internalize the message of this Rashi and Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that I have to worry about Bilam. But at the end of the day, I'll give you a free pass when it comes to Bilam or Hitler. So for Hitler, you know what? Hitler, you don't have to be Moichel. Okay, I'm going to grant you that. You don't be Moichel Hitler. But until Hitler, you have to be Moichel. So how's that? How's that? Hitler, you're not going to be Moichel. It's inconceivable to be Moichel Hitler. Yimach Shemo. For me, it's inconceivable to be Moichel Bilam, frankly. The whole thing about, I care about Bilam, he was such a disgusting, despicable maneuver that I have to worry about his feelings. It's just so hard. It's so hard to imagine. Don't be Moichel Hitler. Be Moichel up to Hitler. And don't worry about it. You're not going to encounter Mirtz Hashem ever, somebody who's even remotely in that space. Linda Lieberman at the end says, thank you all for joining us. And I think, Linda, thank you. We had a nice phone conversation, and it's nice to be with you this evening. And I'm pleased to be here. I see another question. What if the person refuses your attempts to appease him after three times? You're not obligated to ask after three times. You have to go three times. You're not obligated to ask after three. Shame on them if they're not prepared to forgive you even after three times. Shame on them. They carry the obligation. You're done. But you have to go three times. You have to go once and they say no. You walk away. You're embarrassed, go back again. They say no, okay. You have to go three. You go three times and you mean it, and you're not just going through the motions, but your mamish asking for mechila three times, you're good to go. A mishumad, what did the mishumad do for you? Did the mishumad act against you? Did the mishumad try to hurt the Jewish people? If a mishumad tries to hurt the Jewish people, you're not obligated to be kind to them. I agree. But here's the deal. Until the Meshumid, you are obligated to be kind to them. I doubt if in the course of our lifetimes, we will encounter someone who is so egregious, who will act in a way that will be destructive of the totality of the Jewish people. We generally encounter people who are not nice to us, or we were not nice to them. This is much more of a Ben Adam Lachavero issue. And a Ben Adam Lachavero issue is Kavod Habrios is Ben Adam Lachavero. Debbie and Billy, Sid would have loved your share. Debbie and Billy, I'm honored that you're here with me tonight, your beloved friends, and thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. thank all of you for joining. I wish you well. A good gebencht yor, ksiva v'chsima tova, gemar chsima tova. And Rabbi, once again, thank you so much for hosting us. And I want to thank Earl Rosen again very much for being the shadchan here. I worked with Earl maybe 10 emails back and forth figuring everything out. A community that has Earl who's involved and helpful is in fact a blessed community indeed. I wish you well. A good gebencht yor. Shana tova.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Schachter. You really have enlightened us, and what a tremendous tribute to have you, the scholar, to address us this evening. And it is a tremendous tribute to the memory of Rabbi Shoham. And again, I would like to thank the sponsors of this evening's shiur, Jules Shoham and family, the Rabbi Sidney Shoham Memorial Fund, and Sheva and David Honig Fund in memory of Rabbi Shoham. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Shana tova, gemar chatima tova.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.